Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Jimmy Mitchell, part one. We'll hear a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Jimmy Mitchell, and he's come out with a new book, Let Beauty Speak, The Art of Being Human in a Culture of Noise. Jimmy is a director of campus ministry at Jesuit High in Tampa, Florida, but has done many other things over the years, and he's going to draw from his experience to talk about how we can evangelize through beauty in a powerful way. We're now going to an Inside the Friary with Father Leonard.
I'm in Pueblo, Mexico at the Church of St. Dominic, and Father Joseph and I are going to film a rosary that will be broadcasted on EWTN. And we're going to do this in the Chapel of the Holy Rosary, which is one of the most brilliant and magnificent chapels you've ever seen in your life. Joseph, we made it to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and her presence is just so powerful. Yeah. We feel so loved by our mother. And Father, this was your first time here at the Basilica and seeing the Tilma. Tell us your experience.
Well, first of all, it was not easy to get here. Yeah. There's millions of people that are headed here for the feast day. Uh-huh. But it was difficult, but I think that's part of our preparation.
Yeah, sure.
And the joy is all the greater. So finally, we have arrived here. I have a rose here to give to Our Lady, as well as some particular intentions. But just passing and seeing all of the throngs, passing before Our Lady of Guadalupe and being before the Tilma for the first time, I just entrusted to her some very special intentions that I had, but also just to entrust my heart to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was a wonderful experience. And you see all the droves here and their own devotion that we see carrying images of Our Lady of Guadalupe, sometimes huge, huge images of our and statues of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the hymns and the songs that we're learning that are the traditional ones.
We are also praying for you all. You're in our hearts, in our prayers. So be assured of those prayers.
Jimmy Mitchell, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thanks so much, Father Mark. It's good to be back.
You should have your own chair labeled for you.
Every few years, I seem to find an excuse to come back, and you're gracious. You host me every time so well.
Well, you're always up to doing good things, you know? You're always pushing it, and so part of great movements and great works you've done. And so today we're going to talk about your book, Let Beauty Speak, The Art of Being Human in a Culture of Noise. And in the intro, you talk about an evangelizing. You found it so effective to emphasize beauty. Maybe first give us a little experience of that, because you were on fire in college and everything, but certain things you found more successful than others to evangelize.
That's a great point, because when I was in college, most of my friends were either evangelicals or atheists. And by the grace of God, I never left the church. I think I had a lot of reasons to maybe become Baptist or something, living in a city like Nashville, and really become an agnostic, at least going to a school like Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. But I just, there was a grace that kept me very locked in to Sunday Mass. And it was in college I learned how to pray the rosary. And I started, you know, by the end of college, praying holy hours for the first time every day, and loved it. But I think there was a journey there, not only as a follower of Christ, but also as one who very much wanted to help other people follow Christ. Because for a long time, I thought it was enough to just argue my way into people's hearts and minds. That if I could just convince them that what the church taught was logical, historical, and scriptural, which it is in every way, that would be enough to bring them in the door. And I just found time and time again, people were often annoyed, maybe a little turned off, actually, if anything. Mm-hmm. And so I learned slowly, because of my artist friends in Nashville, what it meant to lead with beauty, as Bishop Barron puts it, to let beauty speak first so that people's hearts are even open to a conversation or even an argument about truth, which then can give way to goodness and perhaps lead to conversion.
Right. And like the leap to holy hours, because like in the book, you mentioned meeting a very devout evangelical or Baptist.
And, that's right.
So how'd you get to holy hours from that?
That's a good point. I think it was in part studying abroad. So I had my own immersion in the beauty of our faith and the history of our faith as a study abroad student. And I only had class 2 days a week. So I had 5-day weekends to travel all over Europe. This is when Ryanair and EasyJet were just getting off the ground. So you could practically fly for free. Wow. All over these major cities. Wow. And so whether it was my first time walking into Notre Dame and making an hour-long confession that changed my life, you know, being in Paris for the first time in a language and a culture I didn't know, but then having that kind of encounter with Christ and His mercy at this famous, famous cathedral, which of course just burned down in 2019, that was life-changing. And then to spend a lot of time in London, where I fell in love with St. John Henry Newman and the oratory, eventually really came to know and love a lot of the great British minds like Chesterton and even Lewis and Tolkien. And I could go on and on about my first ever trip to Rome that totally changed my life. These experiences all combined, I think, led to this profound deepening of conversion in me and this desire to be a saint, because suddenly I was at the tombs of so many of my favorite saints and I realized, okay, well, what does this look like in our time for a generation of saints to rise up from the ashes of our very secular culture? Yeah. And that really seized my imagination long enough to obviously commit to that more serious daily prayer life, which eventually led me to seminary, and even out of seminary, only to go back to Nashville and really begin this kind of work on a larger scale with artists and friends and anybody who would listen, quite frankly.
Yeah, and you mentioned in the book, like turning like trips, vacations into pilgrimages.
That's right.
To look for, and you really live that.
I try to.
Back to the sources.
It's funny, you and I were just talking off air. I went to Milan for the first time, this beautiful, beautiful Duomo right there in the heart of the city. I was just there for the first time 2 weeks ago with a really good friend who's a seminarian and he's studying in Rome. And as you know, those guys aren't allowed back for the first couple of years. So he's from Nashville, living over there. I thought, all right, if you can't get home for Christmas, I'll bring a little bit of home to you. Yeah, and so the day after Christmas, we met up and we skied the Swiss Alps, which is the closest to heaven I have ever felt as far as the beauty of God's creation is concerned. I mean, the sights at the top of those mountains are unlike anything I've ever seen. But that was immediately followed by, you know, 2 or 3 days in Turin. We spent a lot of time with St. John Bosco and St. Dominic Savio, Blessed Miguel Rua, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. And then we went to Milan, in small part to see this beautiful church, but also St. Augustine and St. Ambrose and St. Charles Borromeo. Again, I've always loved the saints in the unique and unrepeatable way that each of them responded to this call to holiness and this call to mission. And so even as recently as 2 weeks ago, that's a great example of what could have just been a ski trip and a fun vacation in the mountains turn into a pilgrimage for both of us.
Yeah. And so you were talking about how just recently you just even realized what a great analogy that is to have a picture of the cathedral in your book, because Milan is like the fashion industry, the high-tech center of northern Italy there is, that's their industry part of the country. It seemed like it kind of speaks like America, you know, we focus on work, but you know, so in this big modern city, you have this cathedral that took hundreds of years to build. That's so beautiful.
And so much ingenuity to even figure out how to get that marble from Lake Maggiore, you know, about 100 kilometers away, on boats, you know, for centuries. It was just, you know, from one part of northern Italy into Milan with these canals that they built just for the sake of this beautiful dome, this beautiful cathedral. And I think what really struck me, I finally was able to see it in person, but also take a tour of the terraces, the rooftop mm-hmm. of this beautiful church. And you can see basically nothing but smoke, nothing but industry, graffiti on the walls, bit of pollution here and there, and honestly, noise and busyness as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
But there you are in the heart of the city. And in the heart of the world, of course, we find Christ himself, mm-hmm. the Sacred Heart beating with love for all of us. Mm-hmm. In the same way that this church is a reminder and a constant sort of, you know, almost litmus test for how aligned our lives are with God's will. Each of us as Christians are meant to be the same, you know, to be that signpost, to be that prophetic witness and reminder that we are loved by God, that we're made for heaven, and nothing here in this world will ever satisfy the deepest desires of our heart.
Yeah, and to maybe jump forward a little bit, that like you talk about prayer and cultivating that interior life, and how attractive that is to others, that it kind of radiates a goodness. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, we can have people in our life that might be very knowledgeable, a lot of practical wisdom and things, but the people that are real encouragers and sources of strength are people that are connected with God, right?
That's right.
I was thinking, like, what is that quality? Because we just had a retreat for my community, and the guy was saying, you know, in the tempestuous times that we're in, it's always going to be the saints that show us the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scott Hahn talks about it. It's not, you know, theologians battling questions is really not going to bring it to a completion or give peace to it. It's going to be the saints that witness how to live in this era, this time, this
That's
culture.
Right.
And so if somebody is praying like a saint, you know, and has this communion with God, that's going to be such a source of hope, encouragement, and I guess you would say beauty as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really believe, I mean, that's the answer to every crisis. It's the agent of renewal in every difficult time of church history, the beauty of holiness, the saints.
Yeah.
And you're right, you can just feel it, you know? I'm not even necessarily sure that at this point in my life I've met somebody that will be canonized, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. A few years or a few decades after they die. But you can kind of sense the holiness in certain people that the church probably should canonize.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of how they lived their life, rooted in prayer, they couldn't help but bring the peace and the joy. And as you said, the beauty of Christ everywhere they go. It's almost like, you know, souls that have learned how to turn their entire being into this placid lake mm-hmm. in the midst of a very tempestuous world, to use that word again. Yeah. And they bring with them everywhere they go an answer to the question on every heart, which is, what am I made for? Where is all this going? Mm-hmm. What is the meaning of existence? Well, these are people who have brought heaven to earth. So, of course, they're beacons of hope. They're almost prophetic witnesses to the heavenly homeland, you know, that every heart longs for.
And that's a good segue, because our next topic, we're going to talk about wonder.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Jimmy Mitchell. Jimmy, before we get into wonder, in your book, you have all these friends that are going to the seminary and becoming priests and everything. And I did wonder, I said, did you ever try it? You mentioned you did. Talk about that year.
It was a really, really instrumental and formative year. It was right out of college. You know, it wasn't exactly the normal thing to take, you know, a business degree from Vanderbilt and begin the rest of my life with. I mean, my dad, he didn't really know what to think of it. My mom was very sweet and supportive, but I just had a lot of people that were very confused mm-hmm. why I would go from, you know, Vanderbilt and this kind of opportunity at the time to be in the music industry to suddenly go off and spend a year at seminary. And it could have been 6 years and then the priesthood for all I knew. I went obviously with an open heart and a real desire for God's will. you know, providentially, this is the season of life where so much of the intellectual foundation was laid for me to even be able to write a book like this, to really have a deep dive into philosophy, to understand even the right questions to ask, was really, really fundamental for me. And there's a long story as to how I discerned in and why I discerned out and kind of trying to make sense of God's will ever since. But I will say, you know, there has been a profound sense of mission, a deep rootedness in prayer, and a real sense of God's handiwork in my life ever since. But I don't know that the foundation could have been laid anywhere else. And knowing, you know, at least at that time that I wasn't called to diocesan priesthood was at least enough for me to keep trusting the Lord in whatever season of life He would call me to next and next and next. And I'm not yet in my permanent vocation. Yeah. I very much hope and long for that. But there's been a sense of mission ever since. Yeah, that's what I hope for. Yeah. And I think that's where the Lord's leading me. So.
Oh, are you dating anybody?
I am. In fact, I am.
We're turning into a real talk show now.
Yeah.
Again, that'll be another Life on the Rock episode.
Yeah, that's right. We'll come back and maybe share the story. You know,
Jimmy gets married. So.
That's right. Finally.
You know, we should say, too, about, we're talking a lot about beauty. You give a great little description of what beauty is, you know, starting with Thomas saying, you know, that which pleases us. And but I like the things you talk about from Mark Mervelli, or the son, yeah, Mark Mervelli, that it ignites us, it makes us desire what is good and true, longs for higher things. It draws us to ask deeper questions. I thought that was a great description of what beauty does. There's something surprising.
I agree.
And something, it has a way of like leading us to something greater.
That's right. Especially, you know, this culture of noise, this dictatorship of relativism, the rise of secularism, you know, post-Christianity, whatever you want to call it. The only way to really shake people out of their stupor is to sometimes give them an encounter with beauty that helps them long for more. And I love that very simple idea that when we encounter beauty, something in us realizes, oh, there's more to this life. So sometimes it can be painful, actually. An encounter with beauty is often a reminder that we're not home yet, you know, that heaven is our home. There's this existential ache that wells up sometimes that we can't even push back if we tried, or push down if we tried. But I think there's something powerful about the way that beauty at least gets us asking all the right questions, wondering what it really means to be human, how to find true happiness in a world that really has settled for so much less than that.
Yeah, like many have spoken about like a wounding, right?
Yes.
Of beauty, that we want to, I don't know, what is it? We want to heal that or?
Yes.
Go to something bigger. I want to keep at that level. We have to come back to earth.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's the image that Pope Benedict loves so much, which is, you know, beauty being like an arrow that pierces the heart, that wounds us. And once wounded, you know, we can't help but want to trace that arrow back to its source, the divine bowman himself, God, who is the author of all that is true and good and beautiful. But there is a pain left. Which, is, I suppose, healed in the intimacy with Christ as we begin to bring a little piece of heaven to earth. You know, every soul that's surrendered to Christ is a little bit of heaven on earth anyways.
Right.
And so
I
think that's kind of the goal for all of us is to live with one foot on earth and another in heaven. And that's something of the sacramental imagination that I think Catholics understand very intuitively.
Yeah. And so in evangelization, to talk about these elements of the faith that are beautiful, that what would be some of those things you would talk about?
Well, for sure, you know, you can start with art and architecture and literature, music, all the things that have been produced, you know, by the church or commissioned by the church these last 2,000 years. You know, I've seen young men, for example, walk into basilicas in Europe while leading a pilgrimage for them. Immediately moved to tears. I'm not talking like football players. The last guys you'd expect to see tears from, they walk into St. Peter's in Rome or Il Duomo in Milan, and they suddenly feel their smallness in light of God's glory. And that smallness leads to a sense of humility and then gratitude, which then gives way to joy in this sense that, oh, that's right. My place in the world is actually pretty small, but because this God who created everything, the heavens and the earth, has called me by name, I can find joy and I can find a profound sense of purpose in it all. So that's one example. And obviously, you know, art and music and architecture are so important. I couldn't really say enough things about the importance of renewing all of those areas in the life of the church. But ultimately, it is the beauty of holiness found in the saints. Mm-hmm. It's us living such deeply Christian lives that we can't help but maybe cause those tears in somebody we encounter along the way, simply because we looked at them with the same love that Christ first looked at us with that morning in prayer. That, yeah, to me is the call, and that's the way to take this idea of beauty, which is, I think, for all of us, somewhat instinctive, and turn it into a real way of life.
Right. And the beauty of the scriptures and the liturgy you mentioned, I mean, if you pay attention to the prayers, you know, as a priest, we have to, you're reading them, you know, collects and everything, and especially the seasonal ones, Lent and Advent, Christmas, some of the wording, the phrasing is beautiful, but what they're saying is beautiful. And you begin your book in the opening page, you know, and you quote from Esther. It says, "Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther 4:14. Who knows, you know, whether you've not come for such a time as this? You know, Israel's on the brink of extinction. The Greek rule is persecuting them. She's able to be in the court and to have influence to save the nation of Israel. But there's a double meaning there, right? When we read it, it's like, I mean, that, and maybe that's for a person further along in the spiritual life, but we can all, God has placed us in this time, in the kingdom, that, you know, such a time as this. It seems so challenging, and we seem so inadequate to the challenges, to find solutions, but yet we're here. God's got a purpose. That's kind of thrilling.
It is.
And it's a beautiful line that kind of stirs me when I read
Good.
That.
Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that, because it stirs me every time I see it.
Yeah.
And I think her story, like the story of so many great saints, church fathers, even Old Testament heroes, are very similar, you know, and why not us? I mean, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? Yeah. This is our time. So we have to know it. We have to be vigilant. We have to be courageous and not run away. We have to engage this culture, understand it, so that we can find our place in it, more importantly, our mission in it, and then redeem it from the inside out.
Yeah.
That's very thrilling, as you put it, you know, for all of us.
And there's a beauty to it, you know, as well. Like, there's a plan here.
Yes.
God's guiding it.
Yes.
It's not all up to us.
And that same feeling you get walking into a basilica for the first time is the feeling you get when you begin to contemplate that mystery, that God is an orchestrator of masterpieces, one after the other.
Right.
And all we have to do is just obey and to be humble enough to say, okay, Lord, I trust in your mercy. I trust in your plan. I know I'm not worthy of it. But do something beautiful with my life. I give you permission. That's enough for God to work miracles.
Yeah, because we are his greatest masterpiece.
Amen.
So, well, Jimmy, thank you so much.
Father Mark.
We're going to do another show with you. This will be your seventh trip to
life. So, looking forward to it.
Thank you. Well, I enjoyed my conversation with Jimmy. He always has interesting things to say, a lot of experiences. And the main point tonight, I think, is beauty speaks to people with this fresh immediacy. And in the culture today, it's particularly powerful. In some sense, we have a culture of ugliness and shock, value, violence going on in our world and even in our entertainment. But the Christian message is one full of beauty. So, you know, Jimmy's writing about being sensitive to that beauty in our Christian life, in our faith, you know, to have this sense of wonder that we can see natural beauty or the wonder of art and churches, of virtue, of the Christian life in general. And people are hungering for that, for the beauty of friendship. So to just keep that in the forefront of our mind, that is a powerful way to point people to God. Beauty itself points us to God. It's footprints that lead us to God. He is the one who's beauty himself, in himself. So let's be mindful of that as we try to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May he fill you with his Holy Spirit and inspire you in all your good works. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.